All right, how's it going, everybody? It's Ian here. Gloves off.
Ian, if I was any better, there would have to be an investigation.
Oh, well, it is Saturday night, so probably means drinking on your end of the line.
Yeah.
It's early, folks. Usually we do it a little bit later, but it's a little bit earlier tonight, so.
Nice day, man. Barbecuing, drinking, you know.
Oh.
Stuff around the backyard, taking down the ice rink.
Yeah, well, that's the first, kind of the first nice weekend we've had in a while, and had a couple days during the week. It got to, I think, high 40s, almost 50, maybe a little above 50, so it's coming around. It's coming around, but we got a baseball opening day coming up here this week, and, of course, the cold weather is going to come right back for that, of course. So.
You know, for some reason, again, I don't know why, I used to really, like, follow spring training and check out the prospects and try to debate how good the Sox are going to be, and it's like, I just don't give a shit again.
Yeah, well, you know,
like it's kind of like it's cool. It's going for opening day, and it's going to count. But it's like, yeah, man. It's like nothing the way I feel about opening day for the Bears or for the Blackhawks anymore.
Well, you know, at least for me, it's
maybe it's because baseball is just so fucking long, dude. I can't. I mean, they play 5 days a week, pretty much, and I can't watch most of the games anymore. I mean, that used to be, when I was a single guy, I'd go to bars or be at home and watch the games. I just can't do it anymore.
Well, as far as spring training goes, it seems like, at least from my perspective, that they don't televise as many of the games as they used to. And maybe I'm just kind of used to being accustomed to watching some Cub games when they're around or something like that. But it doesn't feel like there's as many spring training games, at least White Sox-wise, broadcast anymore. And then, there's some on the radio during the day, but, when I'm at work and I don't have time to listen to the games on the radio, nor do I really want to, because usually just you hear, someone's getting a coffee or something in the background, and for whatever reason, the microphone is right next to it, seemingly. Obviously, they're smaller stadiums, so I understand how the logistics work.
Biggest memory I got of spring training was always, St. Paddy's Day. For some reason, for a few years in a row, the White Sox always played the Cubs on St. Paddy's Day. And we would be doing socks and roll, and Guido and Bobko would just make it a point to get fucking smashed.
Well,
it would be the most vulgar broadcast of the season. And in one year, I was ready to kill Bobko because he threw a glass bowl at me, and I blocked it with my elbow, and it fucking shattered in my living room.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and luckily, there was another year, the first year, I remember on air, I beat the shit out of Joe Batters on air.
I don't remember that. That might have been a show I missed.
Yeah, that was one of the few shows I missed. He was on some kind of shit. I don't know. We showed up and he was fucked up.
Yeah.
It was at his place. And then on top of that, then the cops showed up.
Which was, to those young listeners out there, that was not a rare occurrence there. The police, the police come. There wasn't one time, something out of a movie. No, that was a...
we get scared sometimes, turn the mic off, and people are like, oh, come on, it's bullshit. Why'd you turn it off?
Oh, boy. Well, luckily there's Skype nowadays, so everybody can be in their own living room or basement, whatever it is. All right. Well, it's been a while since we had a chance to do a show. Obviously, the Blackhawks no longer have any kind of undefeated streak or consecutive games with points streak, or as Ken likes to call it, the loser point streak. The loser streak, that sadly has ended, but Hawks are still sitting atop the Western Conference. Anaheim is quickly chasing them down here, but as for now, still in that top seed, so that is good. Do you have any, I don't know, but I guess we should talk about this first. There was the NHL trading deadline just, 3 or 4 days away here coming up. So, of course, there's a lot of rumors out there, and obviously we saw earlier this week Jerome McGinley traded from Calgary to Pittsburgh.
Oh, God, it makes me sick.
Everybody went to bed, in most cases, thinking he was going to Boston. That was what the rumor mill was, and teams had a deal. Then when you woke up, he was all of a sudden going to Pittsburgh.
Either one would have made me – either one made me sick. I would have been a little better if he went to Boston because I kind of like Boston. But I hate the Penguins with a passion. And now the NHL is going to force them even more down our throats. I mean, every one of their fucking games will be televised now. It's bad enough that, you know, three of their games a week are on NBC Sports. Every time you look up, it's the fucking Penguins on NBC Sports. And yeah. Now it's going to be even more.
I was surprised that their game today wasn't on, because I saw NHL Network had a game on this afternoon. They had the Bruins and the Flyers from Philadelphia on, I think, around 12 o'clock or 12:30, something like that, today. And I thought for sure the Penguins game would have been on, because they were talking about Gidlow making his debut this afternoon, and they didn't have it on, I guess.
You know what? I don't know how much he's really doing or how much he's going to contribute. He's going to be a tough guy and set up plays, but I remember, you know, when they played the Blackhawks, it was a little different because, you know, the Hawks just dominated them, but the only thing he showed up for was a dumb penalty in the first period. Other than that, you didn't notice him at all through the game.
Yeah, that's what some folks were saying, because obviously there were some rumors, whether they were true or not, to know the story, that the Hawks were, you know, involved in, you know, the teams trying to acquire him. And, of course, the Hawks played the Flames on the Tuesday night, the 26th here of March. And you know, a lot of folks kind of were, you know, obviously keeping an eye on him, either be on TV or, you know, at the game. A lot of folks kind of seemed to say, well, he wasn't very noticeable. You really didn't, you know, I mean, outside of, you know, him just being a star, you wouldn't have even really looked for him when he was there. So
that might have been an unfair judgment, because that was one of the games where the Hawks just said, you're not getting the puck and you're not going to score, and that's all there is to it. It's, I mean, they went like 10 minutes without even getting a shot on goal. I mean, the Hawks' defense was unreal that night.
Certainly was. You know, let's touch on this now, since we'll probably talk about trading stuff a little bit more later. But there's a story that came out here in the past couple of hours here, Chicago time, but the Blackhawks potentially being in a trade with the New York Islanders. A little bit interesting, because I usually don't pay attention to what the Islanders are doing, because usually they are the dregs of the Eastern Conference, pulling up the rear, if you will. But they are actually just there. If they're not tied with the Rangers or sitting towards the bottom of the playoff seed right now, they are, I think, they're either 10th or 9th right now, last I saw. So they're kind of hanging in there. But so the story, this is from Tim Sassone of the Daily Herald. Mike, I don't know if you had a chance to see or hear anything about this yet, but it says, source confirmed to the Daily Herald on Saturday that the Blackhawks and Islanders have been talking a multiplayer trade, with the centerpiece of the deal being New York center Franz Nielsen. They were earlier in the day, there was a rumor that they were also trying to get Lubomir Vyšnjavský, who's a 36-year-old defenseman from the Islanders as well, but he signed a 2-year contract extension with a no-movement clause, so he will not be a part of any deal. But the story goes on to say that, according to the source, the Hawks are seeking help on defense because they are nervous about going into the playoffs with Johnny Oduya as their fourth.
Really?
With Johnny Oduya as their fourth defenseman. I'll stop here for a second. This will be my own commentary. Mm-hmm. But that kind of will lead you to the question of, well, why did they sign the guy? Why did they give him a boatload of money to stick around? But that's another discussion. Getting back to the story here, it goes on to say that Oduya is a -8 in his last four games, paired with Nicholas Hjalmarsson, as the Hawks have lost three of the last four games. It goes on to say, the Hawks may be shifting their attention to Islanders defenseman Mark Strait, a power play specialist who will be an unrestricted free agent after the season. He has a cap hit of $4.1 million this year. Just quickly on Strait, he's the 35. He's played in 35 games this season, 5 goals, 12 assists, but he's a -14. So that tells a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's something to look for, huh?
Goes on to say that, the of course, this, obviously, if you're going to acquire somebody, you got to give something up. The story speculates that the Islanders are interested in Ice Hawks defenseman Dylan Olsen, perhaps a first-round draft pick, and or Jeremy Morin, who was just called up by the Blackhawks today as well. So maybe this
take Dylan Olsen.
So maybe this is a little bit of a showcase for Morin here called up. We'll touch on that as we kind of get into the show here a little bit.
I don't know if I like that. I don't know.
But it's quickly information on Franz Nielsen, who's the center they've rumored to try to acquire. He's 28. He is signed through the 2015-2016 season with a cap hit of $2.75 million.
Franz Nielsen, another Swede?
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Going from.
He is listed, so obviously this might not be entirely accurate, but he's listed as 6'1", 180 pounds this season with the Islanders, 35 games, 3 goals, 15 assists, and he's a -6 on the year. The story goes on to have a quote from a source who says...
Is he a physical guy or bring a puck guy?
I would assume by his size and his numbers, he's probably more of a finesse player. But like I said, I don't get a chance to watch many Islanders games. I don't know.
They know what they need. They got enough guys like that. I mean, the problem is when you try to play all that finesse thing with these little guys, you're going to face a team like the Ducks. And the Ducks been a little tough on the Blackhawks.
Well, exactly. It's a different game when they get to the playoffs. I mean, even I was kind of somewhat joking with Ken today. He was talking about this is maybe a clever plan by the Blackhawks to just lose all the games to Anaheim in the regular season. And then when they meet them in the postseason, they'll really have a surprise up their sleeve for them.
Yeah, I saw. You know what? The only thing positive the Blackhawks have here is these big teams like this usually tend to burn out a little bit and they can't keep up in the playoffs. But it hasn't been a full season. That's the problem. Steve Conroy was talking about that. You know, these guys, I mean, the Ducks, they're all, I mean, it's not like there's just a couple big guys. They're all freaking 6'3" and bigger. And they can try and skate with the Hawks, and, you know, yeah, they'll knock the shit out of them. But I would say that matters in a full season, some playoff time, but I don't think it does now because it's not a full season. I mean, they're just some big dudes that can skate. They may not be as fast as the Blackhawks, but, you know, you start knocking guys like Johnny Oduya around and he tends to disappear.
That's correct. Let me just kind of finish this real quickly with a story. There's a quote from the source, apparently, who says, this is speaking of Nielsen now, quote, "He's decent on faceoffs, 45.2%, can kill penalties and is a good passer. He can slide near the second line role, then you can move Dave Boland back to the third line and move Andrew Shaw from center back to wing where he belongs." The story goes on to say, among other defensemen who might interest the Hawks are Buffalo's Robin Regier, Edmonton's Mark Fistrick and Ryan Whitney. Then it goes on to say, in terms of forwards, potentially... center Boyd Gordon of Phoenix, Derek Roy of Dallas, who the Hawks have been rumored with for the last couple seasons now, and also San Jose left wing Ryan Klo could also be on Stan Bowman's radar.
Yeah. How many of those Western Conference teams are really going to deal with the Hawks?
Well, I mean, it's
Doug
always...
Wilson. Doug Wilson is not going to give you Ryan Klo.
Well,
he will tell you "fuck you" before you even mention his name.
Don't know.
Doug Wilson goes out of his way to fuck the Hawks when it comes to RFAs. There's no way in hell he's giving up any of his guys in the Blackhawks.
I don't know. Maybe I know this is a rumor now, but people have talked about, and, you know, the Hawks have Stahlberg and Brian Bickle are going to be, I believe they are both unrestricted free agents after the season, or if not, they're restricted. And the possibility that one or both of those guys could be gone after the year. So maybe there's a way they could parlay Stahlberg and Bickle and somebody. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, A, there's certainly the option of, you know, will this be sort of a Ron Schuler White Sox thing, you know, from the mid-90s to those youngsters out there, where, you know, the team loves their prospects so much and all their guys are going to be great. We're not trading anybody. This is the next, you know, obviously you know better than I would, Mike, but all the time in the 90s you always hear talk about the Sox, oh, we got all these waves of guys coming up. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have Chip Wells. We're going to have all these guys come up. You know, all that shit they always used to do. Well, you know, if these guys suck, we got 3-4 more guys behind them waiting to come in. So it certainly does seem like Bowman's the guy who doesn't want to give up his prospects. But then you always hear, the Hawks are in on these deals, but they never make any of the deals. So obviously they don't have the best package to offer.
And Bowman's not a deal maker. He has not made one big splash move since he's been GM. Well, the last really big splash move that they made was Marian Hossa. And that was a free agent signing, but every one of their trades has been like for an average defenseman or prospects. That's pretty much all he does.
Well, there are.
That's pretty much all I expect. I mean, a low end defenseman, you know, something like that, or, you know, less than John Madden as a center.
Yeah, well, I guess there's two things to discuss about that. There are people who, for some reason, will cling to the notion that Bowman's just a puppet. Maybe he is. And basically, McDonough is pulling the strings. But there's even been some stories out there on the internet, Lord knows how true they are or they aren't, that sometimes there's situations where Bowman will somewhat make a deal, and then he'll go to somebody upstairs above him, and then they'll try to manipulate the deal in terms of asking for more players or asking for picks back. So maybe there's some type of shenanigans going on in that regard. But then also, as you mentioned about, as this story is talking about the Hawks looking for defensemen, they do have Steve Monador now who's playing in Rockford. Maybe they're not confident about, A, his ability to stay healthy, or they just don't think he's that good, and they're just trying to stash him in the minors anyway.
He's better as a fucking wing anyway.
Well, I mean, they do have him there, and certainly, they could use some of his, if he was to be healthy, his skill of being a big guy who could bang is certainly something they can use, and a guy who's not afraid to drop him, but obviously for the guy with a concussion history, that's
yeah,
not
bad. Yeah, I was going to say, he's got mush brain.
Well, if he's willing to put his brain on the line for another 4 weeks or 5 weeks in hockey season, yeah, it's certainly very interesting. I mean, as we talked about, the deadline is going to be in a couple of things. The 3rd or 4th of April is the deadline. And it'll be interesting to see if they do anything. I mean, certainly the needs of the team are well known. Obviously, a center, someone to put on that second line, somebody who can obviously win faceoffs is extremely ideal at this situation or at this point in time. Defensively, if they get somebody good, if not, I mean, I'm fine with them riding what they've got for now. I mean, their key is going to be outscoring people in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, in the playoffs, the game is not as wide open. It tightens down. We understand that. But if they're going to win, it's going to be them scoring more. You know, them outshooting everybody. But
I don't mean to sound totally negative here, but I don't believe in Stan Bowman. And whether it's because of him or McCubb or whoever upstairs that doesn't want to make these deals, he's never made big deals that immediately improves a team. So I don't look for anything big to happen. And he's not going to trade anybody off the roster right now, right off the ice. I highly doubt it. Like, everybody's saying that, you know, like, Stallberg can get traded. Stallberg ain't fucking going nowhere. Because of McCubb, for one, Ocean's guy and all that, he's not going to trade that, cute-faced Swede that all the women love. You have a much better chance of him than Sharp, but you know what? I'm sure they believe it, and it is true. I think if Hossa and Sharp are on this team, then they beat the Ducks last night.
Well, yeah, that's another thing you're going to hear is if they don't make something, well, we're just going to sit back, we're going to let Hossa and Sharp get healthy, then that's, I I'm not sure if that's their mindset or not, or if that's just something they would, maybe like a fallback position if they try.
I think that's what they think, but
to me, that's a loser.
Honestly,
I don't like that.
It is kind of a loser, but I mean, you know what? In a way, it is true. I think they could use one more banger. I mean, they could use a guy, whether it's a forward or a defenseman, somebody that, I mean, if he's on the ice, you're going to know that he can come up behind you at some point and fucking hurt you. If you're going to, try and knock Kruger around and Taves and shit like that, or try to hit Kane, you got to pick up one more guy. I mean, Bickle's been playing that nice role this year. And Seabrook's actually been stepping it up a little bit. Seabrook was hitting the fucking Ducks hard last night.
What about Brandon Bulley? Not doing it for you? Toughness, Brandon Bulley?
Yeah. Really, what does he bring? He can go.
He's an interesting guy because there are some people who love him.
He's better than John Scott. Not as good of a fighter.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he can play more than John Scott, but that's not saying that much.
Right. Well, but the thing, yeah, but, I mean, but to that
point, I'd rather have a big guy out there that I'd just rather have a, I don't know.
Well, you know, as far as Scott is concerned, I mean, obviously he was extremely good at fighting people when he was able to find people to fight. But
back down.
Exactly. But you know, people will always say the advantage to having him on your team is he, you know, or a player like Scott, not those many guys that have been in the league, but is somebody like that on your team, obviously, is that that is a deterrent to somebody fucking with your other players. But even when they had John Scott, I don't think that it was any kind of deterrent to people, you know, trying to target the Blackhawk star players. Yes, in theory, there would be a fight, but you're never going to see John Scott beating up any superstars out there.
Was it Kruger or somebody got smashed right next to Scott last year? I forget who the hell it was, but somebody got freaking leveled out there. It might have even been Taves.
Well, I was just say, jumping back to Bowler for a second, he's the guy that's interesting because there are some people out there who just like the fact that, hey, he's a tough guy, he's a fighter, he's a scrapper, you know, that's the kind of old-time hockey we like, and some people think this guy sucks, he could skate decently well, but doesn't really bring you much outside of punching people in the face, and obviously, you know, he has kind of been, well, him, Mayers, and Carcillo have kind of been rotating out of those one or two spots on the fourth line.
Mayer's got to go. He's pretty damn worthless.
It's funny because you would say, well, he's a buddy at Quenneville, but then we saw what happened last year in the postseason when he was not played anymore. He's not playing hockey.
He can't fight much anymore. He can't play hockey anymore. He can't win any damn faceoffs. I mean, I don't see no use for Mayers anymore. Bullock, you know what? You can get rid of him anytime you want. I mean, I don't really want a fighter because in the playoffs, you're not going to be picking fights anyway. There ain't many fights in the playoffs.
Not unless you're playing a, you know, Vancouver type or going up, or Lord willing, make it to the Stanley Cup and play, you know, face off against the Bruins, something like that. Team's got a lot of, you know, ass kickers out there. But, yeah, I mean, obviously.
But even then, they try to avoid fights. I mean, there might be a lot of hits out there, but in the playoffs, in general, people try to fight less.
Right, yeah, because you don't want to get tagged with that extra penalty or anything like that, certainly. But for me personally,
I'd rather have a big defenseman that hits or a big, tough center that can win faceoffs.
Well, it'll...
You can get rid of Mayers, you can get rid of Bullock, you can... Even get rid of Stahlberg in my book. I don't give a shit.
What about Carcillo, your guy?
Oh, he can.
He can go too. He's got one more year on his deal. They gave him that extra year.
He can go sell 50-50 tickets on a 300 level for all.
Oh, the 50-50 raffle, my guy. Yeah, well, they can use him for that. He can stick on WGN radio or all he does.
Probably for Ken call Danny Dumbass.
Well, that's certainly another. Possibility. You know, one thing that's interesting as we kind of wind down, obviously the season is almost over at this point due to the lockout. Hawks have played 33 games at this point. We've talked about sitting atop of the Western Conference with 53 points, but Anaheim, who's played 34 games, so they've played one more than Chicago, has 50 points. Interestingly, trying to look at the bottom of the Western Conference, so obviously if the Hawks finish 1 or 2, they play the 7 or 8 seed in the playoffs right now, and right now the 8th seed is actually St. Louis. So, as they always say, if the season ended today, they'd be facing St. Louis.
They could, I'm not worried about it, they can beat the shit out of St. Louis in the 7-game series.
Yeah, but it's interesting looking at actually the teams that are kind of on the outside looking in. We just talked about St. Louis in 8th with 36 points, but Dallas has 35, Nashville has 35, Columbus of all teams has 35, Oilers have 33, Phoenix with 33, Calgary with 30, Colorado with 28, you know, bringing up the last spot in the conference. But there's a real jumble going on for those last few spots. And even Detroit, who's in sixth place right now, they have 39 points. So, I mean, I guess, theoretically, depending on what shakes out in the final couple, well, maybe we've got three or four weeks to go in the season, but And theoretically, it could be any number of teams the Hawks could end up facing. I mean, hell, realistically, it could even be Detroit, which would certainly be an interesting
series. I'm actually very confident they could beat Detroit this year, too.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I mean, looking at this, I mean, obviously, I would be worried is the wrong word, but I mean, obviously, if they ran into Anaheim in the Western Conference Final, something like that, I think that would be definitely a threatening series. Maybe a team like LA is a good team. San Jose, I think the Hawks have the past couple of years have fared pretty well, as my memory kind of seems to bring me to against San Jose. I enjoy watching the games against St. Louis. I enjoy the kind of fisticuff and the cheap shot in this St. Louis Springs.
They're still too stupid. They're not going to get anywhere.
Oh no, certainly. I don't view them as a threat to eliminate the Hawks. I just wouldn't mind seeing that as a series personally.
The only team right now that I see as a threat in the Western Conference would be the Ducks. The only team that I fear.
Oh man, what about Vancouver?
No.
I've got NHL Network on right now, and they're playing Edmonton, and it's 4-0 Edmonton in the first period. I guess Schneider gave up two goals on two or three shots. It said
in a 7-game series, I am not worried about Vancouver this year at all. Last year, yes, obviously, but not this year.
Well, this is an interesting tip.
The Hawks are still better than Canucks right now without Jose and Sharp. They're better than them, flat out.
Well, it would be a good series to watch, though.
It would be a good series. The Hawks would kick their ass, though.
Well, speaking of kicking their ass, I had the game that was on earlier for the Hockey Night in Canada game was the Rangers in Montreal. And during one of the intermissions, they were going over some rumors out there, some trade talk, and rumor that Rafi Torres is available, and one of the teams who might be interested, the Canucks.
Really?
Heading back to Vancouver. I mean, just a rumor. It doesn't mean they're trading for him or anything's close or anything like that at all. But they mentioned Vancouver as a potential team who could be interested in reacquiring his services. So that would certainly be interesting.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Taylor Hall, 3 goals tonight in the game for Edmonton against Vancouver. Interesting.
I hate that little asshole.
Why is that? He's a cocky player?
He's a cocky little fucker.
Well, Patrick Kane's a cocky player too. People like that kind of thing.
Cocky little fucker.
People like some flash.
Just because he's number one overall pick and came up cocky. Who the hell do you think you are, Gretzky? No, you're not.
No, you're not, huh? Well, I don't really want to go over all the games kind of in detail. Just kind of looking at, we talked about kind of where the Hawks are now in the standings. We talked about, obviously, they played Anaheim on Friday night. Not their best performance, obviously.
Anaheim.
The game the other night against Anaheim.
I got a text from my cousin, which is pretty damn hilarious. He was he's a pretty church-going type of guy. And first thing he texts me, he goes, he's watching the first period, because he had some all-night thing at church. He's like, yeah, after 8 o'clock, I want you to give me some updates, because, I got an all-night church thing. I'm like, all right. So he watched the first period, and he texts me, he goes, first period's like watching old people screw, slow and sloppy.
Oh, that old gag.
Yeah, it pretty much was. I'm like, yeah, that was pretty damn boring. I actually saw the Hawks, which I couldn't figure this out. They were pretty much trying to muck up the neutral zone for a while. And it wasn't every play, but a few possessions looked like they were trying to do that. I'm like, what the fuck are these guys doing? Do they not know what to do or what? I mean, they weren't playing a full-on trap, but that's what it looked like they were trying to do for a while. Which kind of concerned me because it made me think they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it was, like I said, like you point out, sloppy game. I missed a little bit of the game early on, but certainly the goaltending from the Anaheim side was very good in the game. Yeah, and certainly the Hawks started Rhea Emery in that game, so he started back-to-back games. He had the game against Calgary, which he looked. I mean,
I think it
obviously
was what
he wasn't really
third
challenged
person.
against Calgary that much, but started back-to-back games.
He's been the better goalie, whether
Yeah.
people believe it or not.
Right, and I suppose maybe that's a topic to delve into is whether or not there's a goalie controversy of any or any form, or just it's
Oh,
a
he's
case of
interesting.
where.
He's a very good goalie. There's always a controversy when you don't have one guy that says, yeah, this is the guy. And the
Well,
other
I mean,
guy, Jonas Hiller.
yeah. Well, I mean, I think just people are just expect that that Crawford is the guy, whether or not performance has dictated that or not. Just that he's the number one guy and Emery's the backup. And but because people seem to find it somewhat interesting that Emery started two games in a row. I mean, obviously he, like you said, he looked good in the game against Calgary. But the Hawks, I think as we talked about, I think it was off air. But the Hawks, pretty much dominated the game against Calgary. Really didn't really give them much breathing room at all. What
I
else?
don't know. You know what? What's confusing about it is Emery is not as old as I thought he was. That dude's been around for a long time and had a big surgery, and people think he's older than he is. I think he might be 30, 32.
Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, that I don't know. I'll look it up for you. That I don't know. But looking ahead here, the Hawks. It is Easter weekend, and the Blackhawks will be in action Sunday afternoon, an early game, one of those great 11:30 puck drops, Mike. As
In Detroit?
yes, in Detroit at the Joe once again, which is funny because,
Shithole.
yeah, well, the Hawks. It's funny because the Hawks played Detroit in Detroit on March 3rd, also a Sunday, an NBC game, and now they are going back there just a couple weeks later. So, interesting how that happens to work out. Maybe
Well,
the
you're playing next year, not going to be in a fucking conference.
correct. That is also correct. Maybe the newly rich, or actually, I should say newly rich, even richer Justin Verlander. Maybe he'll be in attendance.
Oh, God. Well, he can afford it.
Yeah, he could certainly afford to knock down that dump too. Interesting. Yeah, according to what I'm finding here on the internet, Ray Emery is 30 years old. Claims to be September 28th, 1982. He was born. So that answers that question, as you brought up that. So I've talked about so tomorrow. Game against Detroit. There was a rumor, I think from David Kaplan on Twitter, which I have retweeted at my Twitter account, IanMartin15. Also, we have a Twitter account for our show, Gloves Off Radio. Excuse me, see if I could find it quickly. The tweet basically was that the Hawks are going to be splitting up the defensive pairings. Here it is. Quenneville expected to split up Keith and Seabrook. Look for Q to pair Seabrook with Letty, Keith with Hjalmarsson, and Oduya with Roosevelt for tomorrow's game against Detroit. Now, obviously, just rumor, speculation, or if you want to call it, but that's what seems to be going out there. And obviously, there was some.
No, I'm sure that's going to happen at Quinville.
Well, he likes to tinker when things don't go right, as we've discussed many times, and I guess to his credit, if
Oh,
you
you
will.
know, when the Hawks finally lost that first game, they were talking on the radio, and I was laughing because they're like, Quinville's probably all excited and giddy because now he can fucking change everything up.
That indeed. Indeedy do. Excuse me. But as we kind of look down the stretch here, so obviously we're going to be entering April here in another day or two, but as we hit April, just 4 weeks to go, Hawks have a lot of home games in April. Just looking at a quick place, I see a Nashville a few times, St. Louis, Detroit. I hate Nashville. I hate watching those games. But they have three home games against Nashville in the month of April. The Coyotes are coming to town. They have Calgary. But they end the season somewhat on the road. Vancouver, Edmonton. They have Calgary at home on a Friday night. But they close out the year on April 27th against St. Louis, which should be potentially could be a potential playoff matchup. Standings kind of stay where they are. But
You know what?
a lot of
As
time.
long as the Hawks finish top three, I don't care. I don't want top of the conference. I mean, top of the conference might be okay. Well, as long as there's an Eastern Conference team that gets the President's Trophy, I want nothing to do with that President's Trophy.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking in terms of them being the number one seed in the Western Conference for, you know, home ice advantage throughout the
Yeah, you know what? If they finish second in the Western Conference, I'll be more than happy.
Well, it's interesting because obviously coming into, I guess theoretically, had there been a full season of hockey, a lot of folks kind of looked at the moves the Hawks made in the offseason and weren't exactly blown away by them, and obviously that's coming off the heels of a first round playoff exit.
Well, you know what's made this team is a couple of prospects coming up.
Yeah, well, I mean, guys, we talked, you know, in previous shows about Saad being on that top line, and once he
Brandon Saad has been a lot more for this team than his numbers show.
Well, I would definitely agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. I mean, obviously, numbers aren't, you know, the only
story.
And Nick
Leddy is much better than he was before. It's amazing how much better he is.
Well, he's been a lot better, and certainly being pushed down the chart and playing less minutes has certainly helped that. Obviously, you know, he's not being exposed out there longer. And with him being on that third pairing, with whether it be Roosevelt or Brookbank. And, well, you know, I tweeted this a couple times.
You know what? Roosevelt's been a nice defenseman, too.
He has, you know, I think some people on the radio kind of, on the score kind of, you know, shit on him, but
I don't know why. That dude, what, he's a tough little bastard, man.
Well, you know what, I mean, it's
When he hits somebody, he makes it happen. I mean, yeah. He makes it count.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kind of typical stay-at-home kind of defenseman, bigger guy. Obviously, he's a little bit older, and he doesn't have the wheels, but that's fine.
He's not a stay-at-home defenseman. I mean, he's not one of the faster. I mean, he's not like what's the old bastard they had last year that finally retired? Shit, the guy played with Philly for years. Anyway, yeah, he's not like what's the other Euro trash looking guy they had on a cup team?
Brendan Sopel?
Yeah.
Trash looking.
Yeah. He's not like he's not like that type of stay-at-home defenseman. He's slower, but he's not a guy who's just gonna, hang out in the back all the time and never make a move forward. I think he's a good defenseman, and I think it was a good pickup, really good pickup that came under the radar.
I would say, I mean, him being on that bottom pair with Leddy has helped Leddy, because now Leddy could just use his speed and kind of zoom around, and then he doesn't have to be the one responsible for being, kind of being or staying back. Sorry, something like my phone popping up. Being there. But do you think that this has anything to do with the Hawks' success or anything like that? Sheldon Brookbank, he doesn't play a lot out there, but sometimes he'll be used for the, between the periods interview for whatever reason. He's one of the guys that'll talk to them. He looks a lot like Gavin Floyd to me, if anybody else has realized that. But Sox pitcher Gavin Floyd,
he's much tougher, though.
Oh, well, certainly. It's not a matter of toughness, just facially. When you see his
Gavin
face,
Floyd,
like, well, goddamn,
is
that's
a
Gavin
big
Floyd.
Game nerd pussy. Oh. And, Sheldon Brookbank is a lot tougher. I think they keep him off the ice because he's pretty stupid. I was looking at his numbers when they picked him up. I'm like, man, look at the penalty minutes on this guy. Fuck. And now they've kept him off the ice pretty much, and he don't get too many penalties because he ain't out there. But you know what? In the middle of every damn gathering, any little scrum, he's right in the middle of it.
Were you thinking of Sean O'Donnell was the guy from last year, the old guy, they retired?
Yeah, Sean O'Donnell. Yeah, your typical stay-at-home defenseman right there.
Yeah, another shining beacon of signing.
Yeah, he's a guy that he skates from circle to circle and doesn't do anything else.
I don't think there's really many other games that we kind of missed during the period we did a show that really seemed to we need to get discussed. I mean, obviously, they had a game a couple weeks ago against Dallas where they kind of smoked them. I think it was like 7-1, 8-1.
Oh, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, that was a massive beat.
You needed one of those.
Yeah, that was a massive beatdown they laid on them. And then, you know, they've had Colorado a few times since we last done a show. I mean, they had the game. Obviously, their streak was broken by Colorado. Then they went back and played Colorado somewhat shortly thereafter, and they managed to get some revenge mm-hmm. game, get some revenge back on them. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, things have been going pretty well. Obviously, the last couple, you know, games here, it's been a little bit of a scuffle, but obviously, you know, some defensive issues perhaps being exposed. And just, you know, that game, was it Monday night against the Kings, a little disconcerting, a lot of the late goals being allowed. You know, there was a scenario there where they either tied or took the lead for, like, 5 seconds, it felt like, and then the Kings scored with, like, less than a second to go in the period, and the Kings scored late to take the lead. And
yeah, I remember the problem with that, you know, 2 minutes left in the third period, scoring bullshit. And it happened twice in a row now.
Well, you know, it's something where it seems like it happens so often, but I guess I've never really looked up to see if there's a stat, you know, that has, you know, goals in the final minute, you know, 2 minutes allowed or anything like that. Maybe just something where, because, you know, you've seen it, say, 3 or 4 times in a week, it feels like it happens so often, but I don't know. I mean, it's obviously certainly not good. It's certainly something, I mean, obviously, it's always bad when you're long goal, certainly, but yeah, when you're getting them that late towards the period, or right after you just scored a goal to tie or take the lead, or you know, or heaven forbid, you know, trying to get back into the game, but which is a little White Sox-esque right there, you know, scoring a run and then giving 3 right back kind of scenario. But
well, the Hawks have had a reputation of playing shitty in the third period this year, and it's starting to show against good teams.
Let me see while we're talking here if I can try to finagle something. While I'm looking that up here, so with the deadline coming up, so I guess to kind of just kind of sum up our thoughts on that, are you of the mindset that there's basically not going to be a major move, but if there's going to be something, it's just going to be a small,
yeah.
You know, it's like a
small, I don't think there's any major player. Move. Dan Bowman's a pussy. and if it's not him, it's upstairs, you know, when he makes a deal, like, no, we don't want to give that up. We want more, you know. It's either one of the two. He's not going to make it. They got a big trend of it. They're not going to make, like, an L.A. Kings move and, you know, reshape the team to win the cup, which they don't really need to reshape the team anyway, but they could use one big fucking banging centerman, which they're not easy to come by, but with the amount of prospects the Hawks have, they could easily get one.
Well, I mean, that just brings back to the point of they have a lot of chips to play, so to speak, but are they willing to deal them? Are they willing to move them? That's the major issue.
Well, they're better because you got a lot of free agents coming up, and you got plenty of guys to replace those free agents. What are you going to do? I mean, a lot of those guys ain't going to stay in Rockford forever. And you've got more guys coming up from Toledo and from juniors. I mean, they got a lot of guys in juniors coming up to Rockford next year that are really good players. He's got to trade some of these guys. Guys like, what's that fucking moron's name?
Kyle Beach?
Yes.
What's that fucking moron's name? Kyle Beach? That's him.
Yeah, Kyle Beach. He's not going to be with the Blackhawks. Bowman does not like him. He's, you know, he's a tough guy, but the Ice Hogs have had 2 big brawls this year. He was the center of both of them. I mean, I'm not talking just, you know, scrums. We're talking going to the benches and suspensions and all that shit. He was right in the middle and started both of them.
Yeah,
Kyle Beach is a big dickhead, and he does not think very well. He's got to go because he's not going to make it with the Blackhawks. He does not play the Bowman way. Bowmans do not put up with that shit.
Yeah, you know what? I cannot find any kind of breakdown where it talks about when the goals were scored, but it looks like that this season the Hawks have allowed 21 goals in the first period, 22 in the second, and 27 in the third. But no real breakdown in terms of when they actually occurred. whether it be late in the period, beginning, middle, whatever, anything like that. That's that. Yeah, but getting back to Beach for a second, yeah, that's a guy that there was, always a lot of talk about. He's just the kind of guy they need to saddle up with Taves and Kane when they were together. Young guy skate with them, be an ass kicker, as we talked about, life just takes a lot of bad penalties, and really doesn't seem like his guy's ever gonna. Doesn't seem like a guy's ever actually going to get everything together. So.
Oh yeah, you put Carroll Beach out there with a guy like Steve Ott, he'll lose his freaking mind. he's not going to fit with what they do. And guys like him, even like Perry, he's like a 4A player in baseball.
Oh, Brandon Perry, yeah, from Rockford, yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to make it. Let's trade him somewhere.
Yeah, he's a guy that they don't either.
Morin. Jeremy Morin might not be in. I don't know.
Well,
he might be coming up for a showcase because he's been the hottest player in the AHL, and he's not very big. And I've seen him, and he gets knocked around a lot. I was at the game when he had that big concussion that kept him out for close to a year. I mean, he landed on his freaking head. I mean, somebody hip-checked him and turned him over completely from just trying to... I mean, he does. He goes balls out. I mean, he's like Derrick Rose out there. Takes puck by himself, right up the middle, around everybody, and gets the shit knocked out of him. And they say he's 6'1", but he sure as hell don't look like it. He was the smallest damn guy in the ice when I saw him.
Oh Jesus! Is that 6'1" with skates on? Do they list that? Or?
Yeah, I don't know how they list it, but either way, he was the smallest guy in the ice.
What?
Like wow, there's more, and I'm like small.
Yeah, to your point. So he was called up from Rockford last night. He can't join the team today. Obviously, Hossa and Sharp still out. Stahlberg, I think, took a stick or either stick. Stick to the face the other night. So some possibility that he may be out of game. So that could be why he is now up for that. See if I can find what they.
You know what? I'm getting sick of fucking Hossa hitting the goddamn wall and getting hurt every time.
Well, he's an interesting guy because he was injured when the Blackhawks signed him, had to have, the shoulder problem. Mm-hmm. And it seems like whenever he's out now, it's either his, allegedly, his head or his shoulder is the problem now. Yeah, you're right. They list Morin at 6'1". Well, this is what the Ice Hogs list him as, 6'1", 193.
When you see him play tomorrow, watch. He's not big. I don't see how he's 6'1". Unless just happened that, everybody else is that much bigger and they were playing the Wolves, and the Wolves at the time, I don't think they were like the Ducks. I mean, he looked like he was 5'6" out there.
Yeah. Don't know. Can't speak to that. Kind of running low on the time. I know you got a hard out. You want to get going. So the deadline coming up, obviously end of the season coming up here. We'll try to get together next maybe a couple weeks here to get another show as we kind of get closer towards the end of the season. Certainly if there is any kind of trade, we can try to get together, do a quick show discussing the moves and what's going to happen. But for all intents and purposes, it looks like the Hawks are going to be 1 or 2 in the Western Conference. Obviously if they get to the playoffs, it's a new game. Give me a new game, new season, whatever you want to call it. So it should be interesting to see what happens there. Did you want to rant on anything, Mike? You're ranting about iTunes and something like that before we got on the air?
Yeah, I had created an iTunes account, needed my wife's help for it. Let me tell you, this is partially why I hate iTunes. And I'm bitching about this because my phone contract's coming up. And I'm kind of sick of the Droid problem, so I'm going to try an iPhone because my wife's got one.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the FaceTime and all that shit, but...
They're coming to T-Mobile, by the way. iPhone for all you T-Mobile fans out there.
Yeah, I got AT&T. They've had it.
Oh! Boy.
But, Let me tell you, what a pain in the ass just to create a fucking iTunes account.
Now, was it just complicated for you, or do you think it was just an issue with this? Well,
I mean, I've created an email account. It should be no more complicated than a fucking email account.
Well.
Scam questions, and then they want a damn credit card. I mean, come on.
Well, but I mean, in their defense, I mean, with an email account, you're not going to be buying anything through your email account. But with iTunes, you could be downloading songs, something like that. So, I mean, there's a reason for them to. Well, I guess from your point of view, if you have no intention of purchasing anything, you're just going to download free podcasts or whatever it is, or take your CDs and burn them there.
The only problem is I got to find out from iPhone people how to scam around getting free music. I know there's got to be a way. But I'm going to try to upload my music from my computer to my phone, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to have a real problem with this iPhone. I may smash it against the wall.
Now, what kind of problem do you think you're going to run into?
Well, iTunes don't let you steal anything. I steal a lot of music.
Well, okay.
And I don't feel one bit guilty about it.
Well,
I don't care what Lars Ulrich says.
Oh, that's Ken's favorite right there. Hey, Ken. No, but I mean, I have iTunes on my computer, obviously, but I don't have an Apple phone. I have an Android phone, but I mean, I still can get my Apple Music put on my phone. It's not a big deal. Usually, the problem with the compatibility is that if you download a CD or whatever, an album, so let's use that word. If you download an album from iTunes to your computer, the files are encoded. Like, obviously, usually everyone has an MP3. The files are encoded with a different file name at the end. It's not MP3. It's something else that they call it. And usually those aren't those can't be read on like your on a non-Apple phone. But if you just say illegally downloaded a CD and you have and you've got a file on your desktop with Metallica or whatever the fuck it is, you can still take those songs and put them onto your onto iTunes, and you shouldn't have a problem getting them to your phone, because those files should just be MP3 files. If that makes any sense.
I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If that makes any sense. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm converting to Apple, and I'm not happy about it, but we'll see how it goes. Within a week, I'll know, and I may return the motherfucker and go get me a Samsung Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
but I'm playing around my wife's phone a little bit.
To get some practice on the typing and whatnot.
Yeah, typing, no bother. I got sausage fingers no matter what.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Kind of a quick and easy show. Any final words, or anybody got to fuck off to, or anything like that? Or lost kids listening or anything? No?
What's that?
No, I was just joking. I was saying, is anybody from work listening, your boss's kid or anything like that? You got to give him a special fuck off or something like that?
He is. Fuck you.
Get back to work.
Yeah. Nah, no real rants. The only thing is, some people are worried. Blackhawks losing to the Ducks. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned one bit. You know what? Want to lose the season series, those guys, fine. A little different game in the playoffs. As long as the Hawks stay healthy, I still think they're better than the Ducks. I ain't worried about Detroit. I ain't worried about everybody. I'm actually pretty damn confident about this team. I think they need one more banger. I prefer a centerman, but most likely it's going to be easier to get a defenseman. But I'm not worried at all.
Wow.
Blackhawks look pretty damn good to me, and I think as long as they stay healthy, they get Hossa and Sharp back for the playoffs, and they're healthy, they can beat the Ducks. But as of right now, the only team that stands in their way, the only team that really can compete with them would be the Ducks, in my opinion. I'm really not worried.
Interesting. Yeah, in summary, my point to that would be I still have concerns about the goaltending in the postseason and the defense and the goal in the postseason. I think, especially the story we talked about earlier, I think Oduya's a guy in the postseason. He's a guy who's going to get pressured. And as we saw last year in the postseason, he's a guy who's certainly the type who will give the puck up in bad situations. So if they can improve the defense a little bit, that's good. Obviously, I think they need to shore up that second line center position more than the defense, in my opinion. But interesting to see what happens. Just quickly, you know, go. Any thoughts on baseball coming up? And we touched on it a little bit earlier in the show. But any predictions on the White Sox? Just, you know, 500 season, second place by Detroit. Is everyone seems to say
it is to be a whole bunch of average this year, I think.
Yeah, it's. I'm hoping they can at least kind of somewhat last year, keep it interesting where it's, you know, not a total clusterfuck by June. But, I don't know. I've got some faith that they can just hang in there. Detroit looks like they're going to be powerhouse. So I got to just
gotta, all them guys are not going to repeat what they did last year.
Yeah, well, it's a case of where, you know, is Rios going to be good again? Can Diaz do what he did last year? Can Peavy stay healthy? Can Sale stay healthy? Is Reed going to, you know, be the closer for the full year?
500 or a little better. That's what I would say.
Well, as always, there's always the buzz out there that this is the Royals' year. All their guys are good now. Watch out,
Kansas City. Oh, fuck the Royals.
Well, they had a good spring. They got Irvin Santana, and they got James Shields from the Rays. So Bruce Chen's in the bullpen apparently. So White Sox can.
They'll be just enough to piss in the White Sox. That's what they'll be.
Yeah. Oh, I can't stand Kansas City. They always beat the fuck out of the White Sox, especially in those games in Kansas City. Oh, I hate those games. They always seem like they go 13 innings, and the Sox end up losing out on fucking pass ball or some bullshit. They go like, oh, God damn it, fucking pass ball. All right. So if anybody needs to get in touch with myself, you can do so, EMartin15 on Twitter. Find us, that's my Twitter account. Find us on Facebook, Gloves Off Radio. Of course, you can download the show via iTunes. Just search Gloves Off Radio, and you can subscribe to the show. And that's about it, I guess. So, or if you want email, you can do that too, glovesoffradio@gmail.com. So, any final words, Mike, before we shut this thing down?
No.
No. All right.
No, nothing final, really.
All right. Well, everybody.
Let me try to get a show going next week. We'll see what's going on here. And
Certainly. I mean, if you've got time,
you can close out the next few weeks, right?
Yeah. Like I said, the final game of the season is on April 27th, and I presume the playoffs will start, you know, probably, you know, 3 or 4 days after that, once they kind of get everything settled down. Yeah. Then obviously, like I said, if we can try to get a show, next week could be good. We can talk about the fallout from the deadline, whether there was a move or wasn't a move, and take it from there. All right, everybody. So I guess with that being said, we'll talk to you again after a while.
All right. See ya. Thanks for listening.